2 Samuel chapter 5. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David to Hebron, and they said to him, "We are your bone and your flesh." Now that means we are your relatives, your blood relatives. Now that's quoted in the New Testament in Ephesians, where it says that we are of his bones and of his flesh, talking about Jesus. So it's as if we are his family. That's what that phrase means. So then, when you're baptized into Jesus, you really do enter the family, his family, and we are of his bones and of his flesh. This is how close we are to him. And this is why it's so wonderful that the Lord Jesus had our human nature. He was not God himself. He had human nature and was absolutely the descendant of Abraham, David, etc., through his mother Mary. So we are of his bones and of his flesh. He's that close to us. In the past, when Saul was king over us, it was you, David, who led out and brought in Israel. And Yahweh said to you, "You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and shall be prince over Israel." So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before Yahweh, and they anointed David king over Israel. Well, God had anointed David king, hadn't he, through Samuel? And now these people were, as it were, agreeing to that, finally. And there had been all this civil war between the supporters of Saul and the supporters of David, and it could have all been so unnecessary had they just agreed with what Samuel and God had said at the start, that David was the anointed king. And yet they had to go through all that civil war before they now finally come to this conclusion that, yeah, okay, so we will anoint David king. So all the conflict that there is between brethren is absolutely unnecessary if we would just accept God's choices and God's way, which is that we should be one. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned 7 years and 6 months over Judah, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. The king and his men went to Jerusalem and fought against the Jebusites, who were the local inhabitants of the land. And of course, they should have been driven out by the Israelites at the time of Joshua and the conquest. And they drove them out, but they came back, like with our sins. You can overcome this or that, but then it tends to come back. So they taunted David. They said, "Unless you take away the blind and the lame, you can't even come in here," thinking David can't possibly come in here. In other words, they're saying just the blind and the lame could defend Jerusalem against you. But David took the stronghold of Zion. It's called the City of David. And David had said on that day, "Whoever strikes the Jebusites, let him climb up the watercourse and strike the lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul." Therefore, they say, the blind and the lame can't come into the house, into the temple. Well, that's what David said. But the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple. It's as if he didn't like, really, what David had said, that it was against these handicapped people, blind and the lame. And we shouldn't be like that. This was, you know, David was a man after God's own heart, but he does really act very humanly at times. And I think this is an example of that. So David lived in the stronghold and called it the City of David. And David built around from Millo and inward. David grew greater and greater, for Yahweh, the God of armies, was with him. So you see, God was with him, even though he was very far from perfect. And his attitudes, in this case, about blind and lame people not coming into what was to become the temple, these were wrong attitudes, but God still worked with him. Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees, carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. David perceived that Yahweh had established him king over Israel and that he'd exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he'd come from Hebron, and there were more children born to David. Well, this wasn't really right, because God created one man and one woman in the Garden of Eden, and it was not really God's intention. Well, it was not clearly God's intention that people should practice polygamy, that is, that one man has lots of wives, because Quite simply, there's more or less, roughly speaking, the same numbers of men and women in the world, and that's designed by God. It's not intended that one man has 10 wives and another 9 men don't have any wives. That's not God's intention. So again, you see David is out of step with God on this point, just as we all are in some parts of our lives, and yet God was still with him. That doesn't mean that we can just think, yeah, it doesn't matter, but it is a comfort when we think how weak we are. These are the names of the children born to him in Jerusalem: Shemua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. That's literally the valley of the giants. David inquired of Yahweh, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" Yahweh said to David, "Go up. I will certainly deliver the Philistines into your hand." I like the way that he asks God. Like when he becomes king, when Saul dies, he says to God, Shall I go up into the cities of Judah? Yes. Okay, which city should I go up to? And so we should not assume that, oh yeah, I know what God wants. We should always be asking for God's help all the time. So although, as I say, David was weak in some ways, he was very close to God. And what he says here is just right, that he doesn't assume, he asks God for help and guidance all the time. David came to Baal Perazim, and David struck them there, and he said, "Yahweh has broken my enemies before me like the breach of waters." So he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. They left their images there, their idols, and David and his men took them away. Well, when you read the parallel record in Chronicles, it says they took the images away and burnt them. But it seems that, first of all, they took the idols, and then David rethought. So how are you going to, as it were, mark David out of 10 for that? Do you think that was right? Well, he should have really destroyed the idols straight away, instead of taking them for a bit and then destroying them. So the Philistines came again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, and David again asked of Yahweh. So again, you see, he doesn't think, oh, well, I beat them before in this valley, I'll beat them again. He's humble and he asks God for guidance. Even though, as I say, I don't think he behaved ideally, as he should have done, with getting married to lots of women, nor really in not immediately destroying the idols. Anyway, God said this time, "You shall not go up. Circle around behind them and attack them from behind, opposite the mulberry trees." That's just how a dog attacks. Circle around behind them and attack them from behind. So the dog was an unclean animal. And God is helping David to understand, I'll give you the victory, but you are still, as it were, unclean as a dog, but you're the dog that I love. And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, that you shall go forward. For then Yahweh has gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. David did so as Yahweh commanded him, and struck the Philistines from Geba until Gezer. So, this sound of marching in the tops of the trees, this was the sound of the angels going forward. So there's David and his army, and then they hear the sound of marching above them going forward, and they go forward. So God's armies are the angels, and David and his men were his armies, God's armies on earth. So we've got to go ahead where we are led by God. And that's why Paul says we should walk in step with the Spirit. Maybe he has this incident in view. So then there are thousands of angels active for us. But we are not to do things in our own strength, therefore. We're to keep on asking God for guidance. Should I do this? Should I do that? Guide me, as David often says in the Psalms, teach me your way, O God.